Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is courageous leadership. Each of my guests is discussing communicating how to be a gutsy leader. My next guest knows what it takes to be a strong leader. He's a retired executive vice president and the chief operating officer of Microsoft Corporation. He's identified the 10 steps that make any leader courageous and bold. And if you want to join the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Bob Herbold is an author, a public speaker, and, as I said, the retired vice president and chief operating officer of Microsoft Corporation. Bob's tenure at Microsoft saw a sevenfold increase in profits and a fourfold increase in revenue. Before joining Microsoft, Bob spent 26 years at Procter & Gamble, the last five of those years as the Senior Vice President of Advertising and Information Services. Since his retirement, Bob has divided his time between working on a consultancy, his own group called the Herbold Group LLC, and as a writer and public speaker focusing on leadership, often delving into his own pitfalls and successes as examples of good and bad practices. Bob is the author of three books, The Fiefdom Syndrome, The Turf Battles That Undermine Careers and Companies, and How to Overcome Them, Seduced by Success, How the Best Companies Survive the Nine Traps of Winning, and his latest book, What's Holding You Back, 10 Steps That Define Gutsy Leadership. Bob is a regular guest commentator and has appeared on CNBC's Squawk Box and Fox Business News. He has a BS in mathematics from the University of Cincinnati. He holds a master's degree and a PhD in computer science from Case Western Reserve University. Bob, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Good, Billy. Thanks for having me.
Well, what a pleasure. We're glad to have you on the show. And just looking at your business pedigree, it's very impressive. Procter & Gamble, Microsoft Corporation, probably two of the greatest companies with rich, rich traditions and histories behind them. Both companies have defined success in their categories. At both companies, tell us, how did you avoid the trap of just resting on your success?
Well, I think that each individual needs to be excited about what they're doing, and I think once you find that niche of things you enjoy, it comes pretty naturally. One of the pieces of advice I always give kids in school when they ask about careers is find the thing that really turns you on, that you have fun with, and that way work is not work.
That's right. As Confucius says, if you do something that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. So that's good. Now, while you were at Microsoft, some astounding results under your stewardship, a sevenfold increase in profits, a fourfold increase in revenues. That's pretty impressive. Definitely, you're an organizational leader who understands how to streamline operations and get the maximum profit out of everything. So differentiate for my listeners when it's necessary to be an efficiency-oriented leader and when it's necessary to be a bold, dramatic leader.
Well, I think that actually there isn't a time for each one of those. What you need to be doing is both of those things all the time. It's very easy, especially when things are going well, to add more people, more complexity, and you wake up some morning and all of a sudden work is a lot harder to do. So one of the things we faced in the 1990s at Microsoft when the PC business was skyrocketing was how do you basically control the size of the organization during a period of very rapid growth. And so that's what led to the numbers that you referred to before. But you're always needing to innovate because competition is always thinking of a way to get ahead of you. And you should always do things efficiently because otherwise, eventually, you end up in problems. It's harder to do work when you have a complex configuration around you.
Spoken like a true engineer. We're talking to Bob Herbold, everybody, author of the book, What's Holding You Back? 10 Bold Steps That Define Gutsy Leadership. And Bob, just as the title indicates, your book outlines 10 bold steps for gutsy leadership. So why don't managers make the tough calls, the decisions that they need to make? Why do they wimp out?
Well, the primary reason is, there are several reasons. In some cases, they want to avoid conflict. They just don't want to do the battle. Some people also end up striving for certainty. They think there's a correct solution to the problem, and they just work at it. And unfortunately, with tough decisions, there are many options, and none of them are optimal. They're going to disappoint some people. So In other cases, people are trying to avoid risk. They're fearful of what their boss will think if they do something dramatic, so they keep it close to the vest. In some cases, it's simply a lack of urgency. They're not that fired up. So there can be a variety of reasons why people hold back, but the thing that is so fascinating is that this happens all the time, and in some cases for large companies, for decades. It is amazing how a large group of people will, in many instances, simply not get anything done.
Well, and that's a great answer. And in your answer, Bob, I want to peel back the layers of the onion on one of the points that you said, that one of the reasons that managers wimp out is that they strive for certainty. Now, it's interesting that you come from a background in mathematics and computer science, where basically in school you're taught there's a right or a wrong answer. 2 + 2 almost always equals 4. So, how did you personally come to grips with this need for dealing in an ambiguous world when all of your life you had been trained for certainty in mathematics and computer science?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I think every individual is wired differently, but the thing that when I finished my degree at Case Western Reserve in computer science, I had a choice of going into academia versus going in industry, and I wanted to go in industry because I wanted to solve real problems with people, and knowing full well that you're never going to be absolutely correct. And so I think that it boils down to some basic instincts about what you enjoy, what kind of environment you want to live in. And industry is such that you're always trying to maximize your potential, but if you wait around for perfection, you're going to be too slow.
All right. We're talking to Bob Herbold, everybody, the author of the book, What's Holding You Back, and former chief operating officer for Microsoft Corporation. Let's dive into your 10 principles, Bob, and kind of dissect some of them, starting with the first one where you say devise a demanding game plan to confront reality. And I want to ask you, with this principle in mind, how do you make sure that managers see reality? And let me give you two examples. Sony had the Walkman, and it really had the mobile portability music locked up with the Walkman. Kodak had film, and yet they both lost sight of reality and both got trampled by Apple and digital cameras respectively. So how do you get your managers to see reality for what it is?
I think part of it is a staffing issue, but part of it is a culture issue. One of the things that we taught newcomers at Procter & Gamble all the time is that the company is all about finding new ways to satisfy consumers, and that the industry moves so fast that you constantly need to be on the path of putting new capabilities and features in front of consumers in these various categories. So when you went to an annual meeting at Procter & Gamble, it was all about people who had done that well. It wasn't a bunch of executives at the stage talking. It was real workers, in some cases at lower levels, 2 or 3 years with the company, who had uncovered a gem, put the marketing around it, and made for great success on their brand. So it's a cultural issue that really needs to be embedded in the organization that we're all about improving. The second thing, though, that you have to do is oftentimes take a group of people who are clearly very good thinkers and risk takers to a certain extent and pull them over to the side and say, hey, there's something new coming along here. Don't worry about the existing business of, say, Kodak. Worry about digital cameras and how we're going to be the winners. Kodak obviously didn't do that. And that is a tool that you often reach for in order to get the clarity and not have your mind fogged up by the need to constantly service the current business.
All right, so that touches on one of your other points, which is create a culture of innovation. And when I was reading the book, I looked at that and I said, it's very hard to do when you've got some managers who set up for operational efficiency and then others you're going to ask them to be innovative. It really, they're different personalities there. So in your answer, you said take some people aside, create sort of a skunk works that people can be innovative and let them run with the innovation. So it's not necessarily the same manager doing both tasks. Did I get that right?
That's exactly right. And in fact, to someone to do both of those things is horribly difficult because they have to set priorities. And the priority of managing the existing business is always the winner in that kind of a situation. So, or the way you organize around new ideas is critical. You one of the principles I lay out in this book is you got to shake up the organization and reorganize for success whenever you want change to occur. Because if you ask the existing organizational structure to implement change, it almost never happens. And if it does happen, it's probably late and it's probably too expensive.
Ah, words of wisdom from Bob Herbold, everybody, former COO of Microsoft Corporation and author of the book, What's Holding You Back. Now, Bob, in some of your other 10 principles that you lay out here, I need you to differentiate between two of them for me. One is clean up the sloppiness, and I want you to differentiate between that and insist on functional excellence, because it seems to me cleaning up the sloppiness is the same as insisting on functional excellence.
Well, if you get a person, when I say functional excellence, I'm talking about having superb finance people, superb IT people, HR people, and the like. And if they're really superb, what they know about is driving for efficiency while also being highly effective. So a great IT organization has a strong leader who knows that there are some systems that should be done one way for the entire company. And don't allow the divisions to go off and duplicate and drive costs up. But they also know the value of understanding the business so that when there is a special application that is needed, it gets done efficiently. So the great leader of a functional area really knows how to simplify and drive for the kind of incredible efficiency that you need while also being highly effective.
All right. And one of the other points that I found in your 10 principles, which was very interesting, is the one that you say exploit inflection points. Now, first of all, for my listeners, what are inflection points? And then how do you differentiate between an inflection point and a fad?
That's a very good question. An inflection point is any time a piece of technology that underlies the category of business or a consumer trend emerges. Oftentimes, you don't know whether it's going to be a fad or not, but you can't take the risk of making the decision early on which it is. And so business, being successful in business, from my standpoint, is all about catching inflection points before your competition. Jumping on that new technology and learning about it, first, in a limited way, so it's not horrifically expensive. But secondly, making sure you're preparing yourself to be out there first and get the attention of your customers in regard to new capabilities that will help their business. And so every organization should be taught, be they managing an internal part of the organization or managing the products that are sold to customers, they all need to have a mentality that they need to do their current job well, but while doing it, look for bright ideas that maybe you can reorganize around and jump on it and create advantage internally and advantage externally with your product.
All right, Bob. Well, we've talked about two inflection points in history. One was Apple and the Sony Walkman and how Apple trounced the Walkman. We also talked about Kodak and with their film and digital cameras. But how can a person in a role, in a line position, how can they really differentiate between inflection points? In other words, to know which one is going to catch on. And I'm going to use the example of Facebook versus MySpace. I could have looked at that and said, yeah, social networking is here. And then I'm faced with, which one do I choose? Do I choose Facebook or do I choose MySpace? Early in the game, it wasn't clear which one was going to take off. And, of course, with the hindsight, we know that Facebook trounced MySpace. But how do you know how to make the differentiation between, at an inflection point, between two choices?
Well, the thing that that needs to happen is all aspects of the business need to rally around that particular thrust. And in the case of Facebook, they also did a fair amount of marketing in a social network context to make it, frankly, cool, all right?
Mm-hmm.
about that one iota, and they got caught flat-footed in terms of really what they wanted to be, who they wanted to target, and the like. And, you know, as you approach a fresh idea, it's just vitally important to have all the sensors out in regard to all aspects of the business and the needs that you have in order to make it successful. So, you really need to make commitments in a complete fashion to make these things successful and not run it as a sideline.
I like that. Yeah, don't treat it as a sideline. It is your main business. We're talking to Bob Herbold, everybody, author of the book, What's Holding You Back? 10 Bold Steps That Define Gutsy Leadership. And the last step that you outlined, the last principle, is shake up your organization. And I'm going to ask you a question, put you on the spot, Bob, if I can, about your old company, Microsoft. Do they need to be shaken up at this point? I mean, if you look at it, the OS war, the operating system wars are kind of over. The browser wars are kind of over. Microsoft has a really cool product with their game machine and their Kinect that senses the movement of a body. But really, has Microsoft lost its way?
Well, I think that the jury is still out, but they still have a very successful going business. But I can recall in the late 90s, 2000, 2001, Bill Gates was carrying around a tablet that he swore by in terms of its ingenuity. On the other hand, what Microsoft didn't do, I believe, is organized properly around that to see where it would really take us. One of the things that's different about a tablet versus your PC is a tablet is a piece of hardware and a piece of software, and the ingenuity in there that takes advantage of both elements, the hardware and the software, is very significant. And I think that Microsoft was coming off of very successful software businesses, namely Windows and Office. But to have the creativity around the consumer appeal of the interface was really the stroke of genius by Apple with their products. Microsoft simply missed that. And I think, you know, in retrospect, the notion of organizing completely separately from the big successful going parts of the business and hiring people that don't bring a perspective of your successful business is a lesson that many companies learn. And I think some of that learning is appropriate for Microsoft. It certainly was or would be appropriate for Kodak, which you mentioned earlier. People, you know, understand what's important in a company, and when you've got, you know, very successful lines of business, you get a lot of guidance from the top to make sure that we're not injuring the going business. But actually, the mentality you need is you need to tell those newcomers who are working at that new, fresh idea that if they want to knock off the existing business, if they can do that, more power to them. You don't want to hold them back, because I can guarantee you your competition wants to knock off those existing products with a new form. So, reorganizing and staffing are critical in terms of launching innovation, and all companies can learn from that, and certainly I think Microsoft can learn from that.
All right, and one last question before we let you go. We're talking to Bob Herbold, everybody, author of the book, What's Holding You Back? What do you want readers to take away from reading your book, What's Holding You Back, Bob?
I think the most important thing to take away is to basically confront reality. It's the hardest thing to do, especially if you've had any degree of success. But constantly confronting reality and say, okay, I've achieved such and such, now what? You know, where are the opportunities? What do I need to improve? What are the inflection points or bright ideas that I need to jump on? You're never finished. And Andy Grove once said, you know, only the paranoid survive. That is a valuable lesson to learn. So confronting reality and asking yourself the question, what am I going to do? What is the game plan? That is such an important mentality. away anything from this book, I hope they at least take that away.
Ah, great. We've been talking to Bob Herbold, everybody, author of the book, What's Holding You Back? 10 Bold Steps That Define Gutsy Leadership. Bob, if people want to learn more about you, they like the sound of your voice, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
The best spot is www.bobherbold, no dots or dashes, just bobherbold.com.
Bobherbold.com. Bob, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Billy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.